Last week, when I was asked to do the sermon this Sunday, for my own personal benefit, I decided to review the Lord's Prayer. I think it's something that we can all relate to, that sometimes our prayers get, well, I've heard dry. I mean, they do. They start. And so I thought, well, maybe it's time for me to take another look at it and refresh what prayer is. And so that's how I kind of come up with this sermon or this teaching today. And as I was thinking about it, it's not complicated. It's simple. It should be simply a relationship with God, and turning our heart over to Him, and it's so exciting. It should be exciting to us, because every one of us has this privilege of having an audience with God 24/7, no appointment necessary. In this world, we can't even imagine having that kind of access to anyone. So, as I begin this study, I just want to say, God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for reassuring us, and just thank you for everything you've done for us, from taking the way you take care of us and everything, Lord. We just thank you so much for this teaching you give us. Amen. So I'm going to be teaching from Matthew today, and it's going to be from, it's actually Matthew 6, and I'll be starting at 5, but I want to just refresh everyone's mind as to who he's speaking to. And and it was great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, and I'm going to mess all these names up, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, who are the multitudes? That's us. And then when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught, saying. So he's speaking to us and giving us an insight on something all of us want to do here, I'm sure, today, is get closer to God. And he starts with warnings about hypocrisy and ends with warnings of forgiveness and our attitude. And so I'd like to start in chapter 6, verse 5. It says, when you pray, and I'm going to read the whole model prayer, and then go back so that we can get the feel of where it's going to go. It says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then it goes on, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, one of the things that stood out to me so much was the it seemed like every one of these is about your heart. It's our changing of our heart that makes it so we can come before God. And that's where my message will be coming from today, is our heart. It says, but when you do, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. And, well, we had Jared here earlier praying, and Gary is praying in front of the crowd. Wrong? No, I say not. But hypocrisy is play acting, pretending we're doing something. We are not to be performing in a way that is not true of us. We're interested in our own glory than God's. A point being is that we're seeking the applause of men in whatever action and that whatever reaction we get is going to be all that we get. Don't expect anything else from God. And so right away he's pointing out that when we speak, it's about when we pray that we should be doing it from our heart. That is how I read this. Make sure it's from our heart. And then it goes on that, but you, when you pray, go into, and notice this, it says your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And here again, I don't think it's saying to literally go to your room, because I mean, so often we pray, his examples of praying in the mountains, he's praying everywhere, but virtually. And so, when he says, your room, and I see it as your heart, and when you, it's in your heart, and when you go, shut that door, or when you're praying, shut the door like Jerry and Gary both did when they go to pray, they shut everything else off. They quit looking at the world, they focus on God. Go to that secret place where you can meet your Father. And when you're doing that, it says He will reward you. He will listen to you more or less. Like I said, this is what I see in prayer. And then it goes on to, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be worshipped for their many words. And I think all of us have experienced or been there before. I was raised Catholic, and we had rosaries, and which is a string of beads, and you say 10 Hail Marys, and then Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and Our Father, and so forth. And they would get so dry, a lot of times we split it up into, if we were traveling down the road or at a funeral, you know, the rosaries that said, you would break it in half, and you say half the prayer, and then the other half of the room would say the other half, because at the end of the rosary, it was you're kind of run out of spit and ability to talk. But it was kind of cool. Like my mom, if she'd get worried, her beads would start going faster. In fact, I had her a few times where it just spin in like a chainsaw. You didn't want to. But we've seen it with meal prayers and stuff like that. And we get to thinking, oh, well, that's all just those prayers that. I can't even think, my mind's going, but like the mealtime prayers. That we, some of us grew up with, we can say them so repetitiously that there's no meaning to them anymore. And you can take it even farther, and even our prayers that we say daily, like, at least I'm guilty of it, like our even the most intimate prayer at night that me and my wife say together when we pray before we go to bed. You know, sometimes we just don't come up with new words. It's so easy to just go the same
thing.
You know, thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Thank you. And just, you know what I mean? It just gets to be. And is that wrong? No. No, it's not wrong to, we're to be continually going towards to God for all our needs. And but it is something to watch for. It's something that we, it's so easy for us to slip into. And I got it's kind of like a. It's repetitious chanting. I come up with the word chant. No thought to what we're praying. It's kind of like a music versus a hymn. I mean, it just, one has feeling and, you know, I mean, one's one's got meaning, one's just noise. I mean, it's just, those are kind of examples that I come up with. But it doesn't mean that we can't recite prayers. Notice in Psalms, they were put to music. So you assume that if they were put to music, that they were, everybody joined in. And if you don't necessarily agree that Psalms are prayers, look at Habakkuk 3, chapter 3. It says plainly that it's a prayer. And then it has that those little deals at the end of the, what would you call it, verses, the Sheila signature. Well, that means it was meant to be the whole group to speak or to say it together or to put it to music. But like I say, be careful. You need to feel what's being said or think about what's being said as you pray. Don't let it become just a habit. Like I say, it's about the heart. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of, because you asked Him. Well, there's a lot of assurance in that last part. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask Him. So you can have confidence as you pray that He's already, He took care of the unbelievers as well as the believers. And so you can you have the ability to just focus on Him. You don't have the personal stuff that, your personal stuff, He's going to take care of. He's going to listen to. He's going to take care of you in a manner that's good for Him and you. And so now, let's prepare ourselves to start with the Lord's Prayer. It goes, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And notice, we call God Father there. That signifies that we have a close personal relationship with Him. Ted was pointing out that, and I tried to check him out. I went through a ton of looking through the Old Testament, checking to see if Father is ever used as for God. And I mean, you go through like Proverbs. I mean, a lot of times it's Creator. Sometimes it's an attribute. Sometimes, and that's common, that He uses an attribute. And sometimes it's just God. But anyways, so using an attribute of Him, like this Father. But each time He does, it's used. When an attribute is used, it's to reassure us. It's to, and this time is so special because He's saying, He teaches us to call God Father, and it's just an incredible privilege to be able to say that to And yet, it says, hallowed be your name. And that is holy, revered, honored. Don't forget that. He is just, it just, how can I put it? When he, I mean, here we have somebody who's our Father, who's, we're in the, when it says he's in heaven, the God who's in heaven, who's holy, and yet he gives us that privilege of this close personal relationship, our Father. He's not a drinking buddy. He's above that. I mean, he's our Father. He looks after us. He takes care of us. He guards us when we accept him. But definitely a prayer for the saved. And it says, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, we want his kingdom reign on earth. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Look at today, right? Could you imagine not having the deceptive lies and all that? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a world where no sin? And I mean, it would just be. So great. And it's, and we also want his reign in our personal life. We want to be submitted to him, to let him, do I dare say start right there? if he would start the reigning influence in our lives, and we would let it. We would change our hearts and let him reign and rule us. This verse, you know, God is the one who takes care of all of our needs. It's kind of like, have faith. This one, like I say, is more to our to recognizing that we need, or recognizing our faith, that we, our assurance, our, at least that's how I see it, but yet he allows us to have the privilege of taking all our concerns, all of them, to him. We can forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ooh, and now we're getting into some harder stuff for us. And I see this is probably more related to forgiveness as proof that we have been forgiven by God. Is not loss of salvation, but proof of salvation. In a few minutes, we're going to be going through communion. When we think about what God did for us, so that we could be forgiven, we just got to be in awe. I mean, that wasn't easy. He sacrificed himself in a way that, like I say, wasn't comfortable. I mean, he took the stripes for us. He took the beatings for us. He took the agonizing death for us. And yet through all of that, we can still have hope. It's proof of his love for us. I mean, he sacrificed himself to show us. So we can't have no excuse but to love him, to appreciate what he did for us. He did it as proof of his love. Not just mere words, but proof. And then it goes on to say, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that keep us out of trouble. I think that keeps him full time. at least when it comes to me. And that's another hard issue, though. I mean, when we're not, don't have our eyes focused to God, we're going the other way. I mean, that's honestly, and it's such an easy thing, even when we're doing good, like food pantry, which says, when you're feeding people, it's easy to start going from up here to looking down. Here and focusing on, and this with all the ministries. I don't care whether you're passing out Bibles to singing or whatever you do for God. It's easy to switch your focus from God to the worldly things, and we need God to help us pick our chins back up and start looking back up. We just need to remind ourselves, ask God to help us refocus. And because, when we get to focusing on the worldly things, we can turn everything starts our heart can start. Hardening back up. We need to just every once in a while say, ask God for our chin to lift us back up, but keep our eyes focused in the right spot. And then it goes on, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, like I said. And it's just reaffirms. When we do that at the end, just kind of recycle the our thoughts to yours, God's kingdom, and that he has the power. Just refocus our heart again. This is the important, that he is the important part. So often, even when, and I believe this is kind of placed here, at least this is my uh, my, what I get out of it is a call for self-examination, and it and helps us with the other verses right there about forgiveness. Is so often when we're in conflicts, you know, no resolutions come to align your heart and the other heart come together, and then, and when they come to that point of reconciliation, their heart comes together, then conflicts can be resolved. The healing and the resolutions can be found. And so, yeah, I think it's, for me, I just see it as a place where it's a call for self-examination, to make sure that we're make sure we're doing our part. Not our part, that we're, yeah, it is our part. It's our looking up to Him. And then it goes on to say, and then this is more self-examination, for if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Sometimes a prayer sounds more like this, the Santa Claus list. Then speaking with one who is both holy and near and knows all about us. Us the first time. He might not ever answer us because we're praying not in His will. But we can still have the ability to pray to Him without fear. He doesn't care what we're doing. He knows what you think. Well, I better not mention that I'm this or that. But He already knows. He knows, I mean, He knows us all. He made us. So there's nothing to be afraid of, no matter what you request. He, like He says, He knows it before we even say it. So go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray with all your heart. And I just thank God for that, for all that He has done for us. And for this gift of prayer, that we have this privilege 24/7 of coming before Him, talking to Him, reassured by Him.